You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Erevin Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It's actually very exciting because this is the Siyum on the first parak. I always find that like the first parak of a Masechta usually is around this length. It's typically quite long, and Baruch Hashem, it's really a big milestone. I think I'll speak for myself at least. When we started Erevin, we knew Erevin was coming up. I was. A little nervous, but Baruch Hashem, it's really been a beautiful Masechta so far, and we should go Michael Lechayel. So let's complete it. In the previous Amud, we started the final mission. First, actually, we'll quickly mention that the Daf Simon for Yud Zayin. So Yud Zayin is a used car salesman, So a lot of the Simanim with the used car salesman. It's like, you know, like some shady, sketchy guy who has all these plans. This time, actually, it's a softer side of the used car salesman that we usually see. So we'll share that shortly. The three points. The first point is from Amud Aleph. So whoever needs to catch up to that will get it. Mirtz Hashem. That's basically there are halachos about. About a shayara, a caravan. And the Gemara defines a caravan by having at least three people. So what, and there are certain heterim, according to some Tanaic opinions, there are certain heterim that come about if it's a caravan as opposed to a yachid. Now, what if there's a caravan and they're employing a certain heter of, you know, having its, you know, its encampment and certain things, katkas mechitzos, and then one person dies on Shabbos. So does it lose its status as a caravan or not, if it's already Shabbos? And then does that impact the mechitzos? So these, you know, saddlebags and things like that we're using as mechitzos, will that be impacted by the fact that the person died once it's already Shabbos? So that's actually a machlokas on the Gemara and Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. And there's another machlokas that may or may not be connected to that machlokas. But that's the first point. So when the number of occupants in an inferior enclosure changes on Shabbos, if someone passes away on Shabbos, part of this caravan, does that change the status? So that's number one. And point number two, I'm just going to review right now as we go to the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So we learned a new mission over here where we mentioned. I'm going to read the Mishnah over, actually, and we'll skip a lot of the Gemara here just because we did it last night, but we're analyzing the Mishnah today. So the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the bottom, Arba Devarim Patru B'machaneh, there are four things that soldiers are putter for in a camp. Mivin Eitzim Mikol Makom, they can bring wood from any place, which we'll see really means like they can just take. Right, people who are at war and they're camping, so they can actually just take people's wood, because if they need it and there's permission granted for that, and we spoke about that last night, I wasn't part of the Rav gave the shir, but I learned about it last night. Mirchitzas Yadayim, they don't have to wash their hands. The Gemara will speak about that tonight. Umi Demai, they're also putter from withholding from eating Demai, we'll speak about that. Umi La'arev, and also from making an Erev, they're putter from an Erev. We'll speak about those last three cases later on. So we quoted a Braisa a few lines later about Rabbi Huda ben Tema Omer Af Chonin b'chol makom. They're also allowed to camp in any place they want. U'makom shenargu sham nikvarin. Also in any place where in a place where someone was killed, there you can bury him. I mean, if a soldier died somewhere, you're allowed to bury him in that spot, no matter what. Right? Either it's not your property. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to bury him in the spot that he died. That's another heter for soldiers at war. So I'll direct you to tonight's actual starting point, which is four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said, "Afchon b'chol makom makom shenargam sham nikvarim." That's the piece of the rice we quoted. So the Gemara says, "Pshita, meis mitzvahi." Like, of course, you're allowed to bury someone in their spot. It's meis mitzvah. Umeis mitzvah kona makomo, and a meis mitzvah acquires its place. Right, Rashi says, "Echad miyud tanoyin shehisna Yoshua hi." This is one of the tanoyim that Yehoshua set up when and that we quoted on the previous Amud, in this little piece that Yehoshua, when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua had 10 tanoim, 10 right conditions that he imposed of like certain people being mochel on certain things when we acquire the land, and one of those things is that a mace mitzvah acquires his spot and you can bury him there. So what's the chiddush of this of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema coming and saying, ah, and also you can bury him wherever. We know that he could bury him wherever. That's already a teaching from Yehoshua. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha." No. We actually need to say this. Afal, right? Afal gav de islay kovrin. It's coming to teach me that even if there are kovrin, meaning even if there are people who are available, right? Rashi says sheish lo yorshin. He has heirs. He has people who can bury him. So it's not really meis mitzvah. Right, Rashi and the Gemara says, "Detanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Ezuhu meis mitzvah. Who's considered meis mitzvah? Kol she'in lo kovrin. Anybody who doesn't have people to bury him. Korei va'acherim onin also ein ze meis mitzvah. But if you would like, if the guy would like call out and say, help, I it's my time soon, bury me, and they would be able to respond. Meaning, if they're within the general vicinity of the person, that's not considered meis mitzvah. So Yehoshua, yeah." Well, the mace mitzvah doesn't mean that there are no human beings around. Mace mitzvah means that there are no relatives around, no heirs around, because meaning like you're probably thinking about like the most discussed case of mace mitzvah, which we usually think about, which is like a kohen finds a mace. That's like the classic case because it comes up in so many Gemaras. So we think, oh, there's no one else to bury him. But so that's mace mitzvah. But even if there was somebody else to bury him who's not part of the family, I think that's also mace mitzvah. But let's say there was a Levi and a Kohen, then of course the Levi should be the one to do it. And he's being Mekai in the mitzvah of mace mitzvah because there's no one, there are no kovrin for him, there are no family members. So anyway, what we're saying over here is that Yehoshua said made a rule, made a tanai before we enter Eretz Yisrael, just accept upon yourselves that a mace mitzvah is kona makomo. But the chiddush that Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema is adding is that even if it's not mace mitzvah, if it's a soldier, a fallen soldier, he's also kona makomo. Okay. Mace mitzvah kona makomo. Wait, is that true that a mace mitzvah acquires his place? So Hatanya, we learned in a brisa, Hamotze mace muto b'seratia. So if there's a mace who dies in like the public thoroughfare in a big street, mifanehu liyamin asratia or the small asratia. So you should move him to the right side of this thoroughfare or the left side. Sada bor v'sada nir. Let's say you have an empty field, like a fallow field and a plowed field. Mifanehu l'sada bor, then you should plant him in the fallow field, right? Because a plowed field is considered more valuable. Sada nir v'sada zera. If there is a plowed field and a field that already has seeds in it, which is more valuable, mifanehu l'sada nir. You place him in the sada nir. Hayu shtehen niros, shtehen zroos, shtehen boros. If you have two fields that are basically equal quality, two plowed fields, two seeded fields, two fallow fields, you can clear them away into any place you want. Bottom line is, right, we're saying that, it sounds like he's not kone makomo. It says we move him around. So Amar Rav Bibi, hacha b'meis mutal al meitzar, askinan. This is where we're talking about a mace that's like lying on like a street. That's what we're dealing with, like some border, which means Mushka Barochav, that Rashi says Haderach Mameitzar Lemeitzar Mitoch Shenitin Rishus Levanoso Mipnei Kohanim. Right, it's in the middle of the street, and now Kohanim are not going to be able to go there. Meaning this is going to create a very big imposition to Kohanim, things like that. So over there, there's a limitation to Kohanim Makomo, and we move around places. So since we were given Rishus to move him from the boundary, so now you can move him wherever you want. but we recommend moving him to a place that's a less valuable place that less damage is going to be caused once you're already moving him. Continuing an analysis of the Mishnah that we just learned, and this is amazing. This is amazing. We're about to see. Upaturin merchitzas yadayim, and they're patur from washing their hands. When is that? Amar Abaye lo shanu ela mayim rishonim. We only learned this regarding mayim rishonim. Ava mayim achronim chova, but mayim achronim is a chova. So you don't have to wash before your meal. You know, maybe you hold the bread, try to hold it directly, do your best, whatever. You don't have to wash before the meal, but mayim achronim, that's a chova. That's an obligation. You can't miss that, which is very interesting. But here we go. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi b'bnei ma amar mayim achronim chova. So Rav Chiya Barashi says, why is there a rule mayim achronim? You ready for this? B'bnei shemelach sedomis yesh shemesame esainayim. Because there is sodomite salt. Wow, what a parsha. Parsha's Vayera, amazing. Shkacha Pratis. Right? Because there's sodomite salt on his that can blind his eyes, Chas v'Shalom. Which is right, so Rashi says, Emma Rabbanan, Gemara says in Brachos Memamad Aleph, Achar kol achilascha echol melach. That right, the Rabbanan tell us to eat salt with after all your food. Umishum melach shatavol bo etzbo tiknu mayim achronim. And because people basically what people would do is they would after the meal they would like dip their fingers in this melach sedomis, and then they would eat it. They would dip their hands in and they would eat it. And now they have this dangerous salt on their hands, so they touch their eyes. So they have to wipe it. They have to wash it away. Right. These, by the way, these are the two other zichru points. One of them is meis mitzvah and the rules regarding meis mitzvah, and the other one is mayim achronim based on the melach sedomis. Okay. Abaye said, Amar Abaye umishtakcha kekorta bekura, and it's found on a grain in a kura, and which is a core. So I guess that like even that amount or. Or maybe that's the degree of how salty this salt is. Okay, so in a core of melech, you have a little bit from that melech sedomis kamin kor katan. So it's I guess it's very very strong. Ravacha son of Rava said to Ravashi, Kail milcha mai. If you're measuring salt, what's the halacha? I mean, you're not eating it; you're just measuring it. Amrle. Hello, Mabaya. That's not a question. It doesn't answer it. Pashtus is that of course it's a problem, right? You're touching the salt and it's dangerous. Now, an important what? Oh. Okay. Oh yeah, so Rashi says over here, Kail milchok mai mudad melech lechamorim. If you're going to measure the salt into piles, tzarich litol yadav olo. Do you have to take it with your hands or no? No. Litol yadav. You have to wash your hands or no? Not take it with your hands. Chamorim tzarich litol yadav olo. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. It's funny. He says it's not a question, but I think it's a question. You know, it could be depends. We don't even know if we're talking about using your hands or not. Okay. Well, it's just an important tosos to point out here. It's an interesting tosos, which is a lot of various tosos in Lashitasa. Mayim achronim chova, right? So this is a big shocker because not everyone does mayim achronim nowadays, right? Sardim often say mayim achronim chova. Right, and that's actually their dvar. They say one of the reasons they say that is actually it's making sure that there's a dvar Torah at the meal. So before you bench, they say mayim achronim chova. They're saying a halacha at the meal, which Ashkenazim try to get away with by shir malos or al naras bavel, which also fell out of overly public use. I heard Rav Herschel Schefter was asked what's the reason not to say al naras bavel today nowadays. And he says, "Who doesn't say now?" Who doesn't say on Aras Bavel? Of course, you should say it. So, putting that out there, that's another way to say Torah at a meal. But anyway, what it's supposed to say over here? Mayim achronim chova. Achshav lo nahagu mayim achronim. Nowadays, we're not knowing to do my macaronin. De'ein melach sedomis matzoi b'neinu. Because we don't have sodomite salt. You know, our salt is regular salt. Inami, lefisha ein aneregilim, letavel atzba osenu. Right, so clearly, like, he's trying to find a reason. Like, you know, there's not really, you know, the Baal Tosfos, okay, I'll keep it going. Right, the Baal Tosfos are trying to find a reason why the minhag in, I guess, Ashkenaz is not to do so. And it's, so it's either because we don't have sodomite salt nowadays. Inami lefisha ein regilim, tavel atzba osav, v'melach achar achila. Because it's not the way. We're not accustomed to having this, you know, practice of having salt after the meal. So whether it's because we don't do this practice anymore, or because we don't have sodomite salt anymore, or both, the minhag is that we it's not a chova, but you know, there are definitely many who are pious and do it. And actually, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, you know, you can take a look at the post from there. But this is the limud. The limud schus for those who are not makbid on my macaronim, this Tosfos over here. But in the Gemara understands that this was the practice and is expecting soldiers to do it, and therefore, even if we're going to be makel about the halacha of Mayim Rishonim, we're not going to be makel about my macaronim because that is a serious sakana to the person. And of course, there are much, you know, there are ideas you could say, especially partial related about what the symbolism of this melach sedomis is, but we'll save that for a little bit later on in the week. Next part of the Gemara, umi demai. So we said that they're pater from demai, and by being pater from demai, we mean that they are we're not makbid on them eating demai. So first, what demai is? Demai is produce that in theory would be subject to taking off meiser, and we're just not sure if meiser was taken off or not, right? It was you know, Amoritz had it, and we don't know if the person took off meiser or not. So in general, we say demai, that is forbidden from eating. We assume we're machmir on this, and we assume it's tevel, that it's untithed produce. We don't eat it. So we have a Mishnah that believe this is peyu machilin asaniyim demai vesachsanya demai, that we feed aniyim demai. And we can feed achsanya. If we're like, there's soldiers in town and troops in town, then we feed them demai as well, right? There's a kula of the rabbanon that yes, they made it. They created the status of demai, and so that's aser. But they said that we can feed it to poor people and the achsanya. Amar of Huna Tana beShamay Omrim in Machina Sanim Demai in Achsanya Demai. Veshil Omrim Machina Sanim Demai Vesa Achsanya Demai. And beShamay argue that we do not feed them demai, and beShil say that we do. And so that's you know, this heter over here to feed them demai. The Gemara explains, I think it's in Brachos and other places as well, that it's running on the assumption that truth is Rov Ame Aretz, right, Maaser, right? The majority of Ame Aretz do take off Maaser. So really, you know, we can't, really min adin, we should assume that it was tithed produce, that the produce was tithed, but we're machir in general and makel in this situation. Ulma arev, and for making an eruv, amri debei rav yanai lo shanu el eruv echatzeros. We only learn this by eruv echatzeros, right? If they have the two chatzeros, there's a chatzer with two homes in it, so they can join together, so they don't have to join together. They can carry from that rishos yachid to that rishos yachid without making an eruv. That's a special heter for soldiers. Aval eruv tchumin chayivin. But an eruv tchumin, that you're actually chayivin. Eruv tchumin is that, so there's something called tchum Shabbos, where you're not allowed to go 2,000 amos outside of your dwelling on Shabbos, or outside of a certain city restrictions, or whatever it might be. But what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to designate some other location as an extension of yourself, and you have an eruv there, and you have, you know, food there, and that's like an extension of your location. You can actually go from 2,000 amos outside of that place as well. That's called Erevei Tanchumen. And that we have to, so that they do have to do if they want to travel that distance. Why? Ditani Rebchia, because Rebchia says, Lokin Ale Erevei Tchumen, Dvar Torah, that you get Malkus for Erev, for Tchumen, for Erev Tachamun, and that's Dvar Torah. I mean, that's Midiraisa. As opposed to Erev Chatzeros, which Midiraisa you're allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that's not a problem. Midiraisa and Midirabanan, you have to do Erev Chatzeros, so we're Makel for soldiers, though the Rabbanan were Makel. But when it comes to, Tchum Shabbos, which is a Deraisa, Dvar Torah, so then we're not going to be Makel on Erev Tachamun. Now, this is actually subject to a machlokas that we quoted in Shabbos a couple of times, maybe three or four times, actually. I don't remember exactly, but in Gimel and some other places, I believe, machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva says that Tchumen is an Isser Deraisa. Rashi says we learn it from... Where is it? I saw there was a Rashi earlier. We get it from Dechsiv Al Yete Ish Mimkomo, right? That a person should, right? This is in Parshas Bashalach, that regarding the mon, a person should not go out of his location. Right? So we're going to learn this much later on in our Masecha and Nun Aleph, but we've discussed in Shabbos a bunch of times. But that's only the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, not the Chacham. But over here, it looks like we're assuming the opinion of Rabbi Chia, holding the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that you get Malkus for it, and it's an Isser D'oraisa. Now we're going to challenge the Malkus piece. Wait, hold on, you get Malkus, right? Maskifla, Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan says, do we give Malkus for a lav that's al? What does that mean? So Rashi says, lav shenisan lazaris, who's talking about al, right? So it's a lashon of al, as we saw the previous Rashi. It's al yetzei. It's not lo yetzei. It's al yetzei. Right now he's assuming that we only give Malkus for a lav that says has a load. Don't, as opposed to al, which is, I don't know, do not. I think it's the same translation, but there's some distinction between al and lo. So now the Gemara, Rav Yonasan is surprised that Rav Chiya would say such a thing. You get Malkus for a lav that's al and not lo. So the Gemara responds, Maskif Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, but what are you talking about? We have an Isser that do not turn towards the Ovos and Yedonim, these certain, you know, necromancers and sorcerers. You're not allowed to turn towards them, and it's a lashon of Al. And so it says, ve Al ha-Yedonim, hachanami de lucky. So you would think, okay, so I guess it's true. So you don't get Malkus for Ov and Yedoni, but of course you got Malkus for Ov and Yedoni, and it's a lashon of Al. So the Gemara has to re-explain. Rabbi Yonasan hachi kashale. No, this is what Rabbi Yonasan meant. It's not like a distinction between al and lo. Lav shenitin lazharas misas beizdin. It's a lav that's given over to as an azhara for misas beizdin. Meaning that beizdin will only punish if there is a lav. Beizdin only offers a punishment. You need two mentions of an Isser in order for there to be a punishment. One of them for the Isser itself, a lav, don't do this, and the other one that states that has the punishment, that indicates a punishment. So over here, when it comes to al yetzei mimkomo, so this is actually a lav shenitan lazharas beizdin. It's a warning to beizdin. Rashi says shelo yasa kain, that you shouldn't do it. Shemeschayv alav misas beizdin ain't lokin alav, right? Because that there's actually an Isser. The previous Rashi, al yotzei, right? We have a teaching that's not don't just read it as al yotzei, don't go out, but al yotzei, don't bring out, don't carry. V'nafgalon, says Rashi, nafgalon hotsa mirshus l'rashus minei v'hi av malacha hi mamasin alei. Meaning that Chazal understand this pasuk al yotzei ishmim kamo as al yotzei ishmim kamo, do not bring out, and they learn from here a source of an azharas beizdin that you get malchus for an av malacha. Sorry, that you get Misa for an Av Malacha. So and here's the rule now. Since we use this Pasuk, this Isser, this Lav, as an Azharas Misa's Beisdin, Lazharas Misa's Beisdin, V'chol, back to the Gemara, three lines from the bottom of the section before the next Mishnah, Lazharas Misa's Beisdin, V'chol Lav Shintan Lazharas Misa's Beisdin, and any Lav that's used as an Azharas Misa's Beisdin, ain't Lokin Lav. You don't give Malkus for that, right? So if we use this Lav, this love of Al Yetzei Ish Mimkomo, the love of Tchum Shabbos, of not traveling outside the Tchum, if we actually use this love as an Azhara for Misas Beizdin, for Hotzah and Av Malachos, then we can't also give Malkus for it. That's a rule. Amar Ravashi says, Miksiv Al Yotzi. Does it say Al Yotzi? Al Yetzei Ksiv. It says Al Yetzei, meaning, yes, it's true we have this drasha of Hotzah, but the pashut pshat of what's going on in this pasuk of is al yetzei, do not go out. Meaning the simple understanding of this pasuk is is not the Asharis Mishas Beis Din, but rather the Isser of Tchum Shabbos, and therefore you will give Malkus for the Isser of Tchum Shabbos. Of course, this is all within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So, Rav Chiya says that Rav Chiya says over here that you get Malkus for it, that's within Rabbi Akiva, and indeed, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would get Malkus for it. Hadron Alach Mavoi. Mazel Tov, we finished this beautiful parak of Erevin, and we should go back to Michael Chayel. Let's start the new Mishnah. Ose pasin lebiraos arba diumdin. So we've mentioned the pasin for biraos a bunch of times already this Masechta. One place was back on Yud when we talked about different measurements, and we've seen them actually a few times. Osin pasin lebiraos. So if you're allowed to make boards for the wells, arba diumdin, four. Double diumdin. Diumdin means two, like amudin. Dio, like you know, two, or like a dichotomy or deuteronomy, which is like a repetition of the Torah. So diumdin are two boards near in kishmona, and they appear to be like eight, right? Because you have these four double boards on the corner, and each corner is actually two boards. It's a double board, so that's eight in all for the four corners. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what pasin libiros looks like for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer Shmona Nirin Kishnei Masar, that you have eight that look like 12. How? So it's Arba Diyumdin, that you have four of those corner boards, meaning imagine what we had for Rabbi Yehuda, in the simple understanding. V'arba Pshutin, but between each double board, meaning spaced out, but between each pair of double boards, on each of the four sides, there's actually another board inserted there. So like you would see like a corner board, and if you go down one side of this structure, you get to a straight board, and then you go down a little more and you reach the other end, that's the other corner board. So on all four sides of this structure, in the space where we would have imagined, you know, like this breach between the two diumdin, there's a straight board in between. Now, other requirements for it: govan asara tvachim, the height has to be 10 tvachim, v'rochvan shisha, and the width has to be 6 tvachim, v'ovyam kolshehu, and the thickness of these could be anything, ubinehen kamalishte revakos, and between them, the measurement is of two revakos shel shalosh shalosh bakar. It has to be, right, meaning how much space are you allowed to have in between these gaps, right, these breaches. So Divrei Rav Meir says that it could be the size of two teams of shalosh, of three bakar each, right? So the size of three cattle six cattle or whatever this space is. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. We actually learned this earlier. This is, I believe, 10 amos, and the Gemara will elaborate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel arba. Rabbi Yehuda says of four, not three oxen on each team, but actually four oxen on each team. And remember, Rabbi Yehuda has a larger size. I believe it's 13 and a third amos. Kshiros velomutaros, but we're talking about when the oxen are tied closely together, not when they're looser, so that's, you know, going to be a smaller distance. Achas nechneses v'achas yotzes, but not when they're all necessarily facing the same direction, but you have a little more wiggle room, that some are going inwards and some are going outwards. We're going to explain all these as we go through the Gemara. Mutter lahakriv Libe'er, you're allowed to bring in, right, these diumdin, you're allowed to bring it closer to the be'er and make it a smaller distance. Ubilva chitehe para rosha varuba bifnim vishosa. But you have to make sure that the cow is able to bring its head and most of its body inside so it can drink. Mutter laharchik, and you're allowed to distance it kol shehu, any amount you want. Meaning if you want to make the pasi biros go larger and have a very large space around the well, you can do that. Ubil v'chayar bebe pasin. As long as you put more pasin there, you put more boards there, then that'll be fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad beis sasayin. Rabbi Yehuda limits how big you can make this space around the well, even if you use these boards. Only base sasayim, only a space of two, the area of two seya. Amru lo, they said to him, they're saying to him, lo amru base sasayim, ela legina lekarpaf. We only said that regarding a garden or a karpaf, we said that's that like, you know, open space that's not typically used. Avalim haya deer, o sahar, o muktza, o chatzer. But if it's one of these other places that's actually used used quite a lot. If it's a deer, which is like a or sahar, different types of like corrals and fenced in areas. O muktze, o chatzer, or we said a muktze. We learned about that before. Rashi mentioned it a bunch of blot ago. Is a backyard, or a chatzer is like a front yard. Places that are used a lot for these things. Afilu beis chameshas kurin, afilu beis asara kurin mutter. Even if it's 5 kor, even if it's 10 kor, it's mutter. Umutter laharachich kol shehu bilvad sheir bapasin, and you're allowed to make it larger, say the Chacham, as much as you want, as long as you increase the number of pasin, of boards in between. And of course, you know, this was a Mishnah that we did quickly. There's a lot of Gemara on it, and hopefully that'll that'll be everything will be elaborated upon. Just going to quickly do the Daf Simon. So we said that it's a used car salesman, Yud Zion used car salesman. The 3 points are when you have. Right, there are rules for a shayara, for a caravan, a certain heter that comes if you have a caravan, which is 3 people traveling. So what if one of them dies and it's already Shabbos? What do you do? Do you say that, well, at the beginning of Shabbos we had 3, so it was a caravan, we can rely on the heter? Or do you say, no, it's dependent on how many people there are now, there's only 2, so that there's that discussion. The discussion of meis mitzvah, the meis mitzvah is kona makomo, he's buried in this place, and a soldier, even if he wasn't buried, even if he's not a meis mitzvah, also is kona makomo, and the mayim achronimah based on the melech sodomis. So now to the simon, the used car salesman, for the first time in his life, the used car salesman felt wanted, because there are 2 guys who are in this roped off enclosure, and they said, one of our friends died. We need your help. And he came closer, and he realized that it was a fallen soldier, who was a meis mitzvah, and they're burying him in his place. And the guy died because he blinded himself with salt from not washing his hands. So once again, the used car salesman felt wanted for the first time in his life. A used car salesman. We think Yud Zion. And he was, and when 2 guys who were in a roped enclosure said, one of our friends died. So that reminds us of the Shayara case where a caravan lost one of the members on Shabbos. And when he came over, he realized there was a soldier who was a meis mitzvah, which reminds us of the sugya of the soldier in the meis mitzvah, who died when he blinded himself with sodomite salt, which is, of course, the discussion of Mayim Achronim and the Melech Sodomis. Okay. Slach Rabba, and Mazel Tov again on the Siyam on the first parak.